Well, first of all, I see that you were born here at Edgewood, and have you...
Right up in that room, up top of that.
Is that right?
So is the father.
Huh. And so you've lived here all your life?
Yeah.
Huh.
Lived here all my life. From when we used to run to school until I quit. And then we went to Ken's business, you know, and the father.
Mm-hmm.
And then on after we stopped Cannon down there, I think that was in 1927, then we just run up a dairy farm here. So I had quite a bunch of cows here.
Mm.
Holstein.
Mm-hmm.
I thought was the best one, herd around. Of course, that's where everybody
goes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember when we used to, this was a dirt road through here, see.
Mm-hmm.
Used to be our private road. And then they finally got a bunch of houses on it and the cabin did. Oh, that's been, well, I don't know how long, 25, 30 years ago. And, yeah, we used to get up in the morning and help milk. And then walk from here to Edgewood to school. You come back. These kids nowadays, if they had to do that, they'd faint. They can't get to the bus over here.
Hmm.
So I don't know. It's... So where was I at then?
Well, you were talking about going to school.
Oh, yeah, going to school and then come back. And where after school, come back and help do the milking at supper. And I also remember we used to have sticks for horses to use them like a cane, you know, make out there with horses and stuff like that. And we had a big old pond down there in the field we used to do a lot of skating and stuff. I think every boy in the country skates on that and every girl.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but it's gone now.
Mm.
Yeah. I don't know just what I can tell you.
What was school like?
Well, we just had a one-room school with a potbelly stove in the middle of it. One teacher, there for a while, I had two teachers. She took care of the whole thing. Miss Cora Mitchell was the teacher down the last one, I have to remember.
Mm-hmm.
She married this girl up here at Churchville. Yeah, I remember afterwards, after I got bigger, I think used to drive to the school, put the horse in the stable down there.
Hmm.
And didn't just touch a button like we do now.
Did you like school?
I liked it all right, but I've done pretty good in it. I always passed pretty good. We always had it was more of a friendly proposition. It wasn't like a assembly line like you got it now.
Mm-hmm.
And teachers seemed like they took more interest in the kids.
Mm-hmm.
Now all they take a red decision is they want to get another raise.
Mm-hmm.
So they can raise our taxes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What was your growing up with, now how many brothers and sisters did you have?
I had five sisters and one brother.
Mm-hmm.
And they all lived right in the neighborhood and stayed here. And what gets me, these youngsters now, my son's youngsters, they had to go way away to college. And I don't believe they've done half as good as these here, these sisters and brothers of mine done stayed home here. But they're all, it's all pretty well, two of the sisters are gone now. And, well, wait a minute, there's three of them gone now. There's Everett that died here later. And there's Mrs. Everett, and now it's Mrs. Carmen, she's still with her, and Mrs. Myers is still with her.
Mm-hmm.
She's 92 now.
Hmm.
Still takes care of the house. I think she had a lady stay there with her now. Yeah.
Hmm.
No, we used to, I remember when the snows we used to have, them windows would be closed up, the snow drift up against them.
Cool.
And now you don't get enough snow for the kids to sleigh ride.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Would you go sleigh riding?
Oh yeah. We used to get on a sled right here, see it used to get a crust on it. It stayed, snow stayed for no winter. They got across the harbor, you know, the shred here and go clear from here to where my brother is now. That's right. And then we had a man worked here. He had a horse he ride down, hook it to a bunch of sleds, pull him back. Because yeah, that's been quite a walk all the way back, Brad. Yeah.
What was the village of Edgewood like?
A nice little village, yeah. Not too many houses, but it was a nice, quiet little village. But now it's going to, I would say, going to dogs. There's not much left of it anymore, right in Edgewood. All them houses that was along there, they're gone. Yeah, I remember when old Mrs. Walt went over here, she died not long ago. Her and her brothers used to grub up where Brenniger's store is there. They'd grub stumps out there with a mattock. And she lived to be 90 years old when she passed away. So work didn't hurt her. No, I remember we had in the house here, we never had a lock on the door. Never had to have one. Now you better lock them. Because they come and clean your garage out. They go right in the garage and get stuff out. Changed quite a bit. And all of the people that used to live here, we knew everybody, you know. Flatamatches and Tammers and all them, and Narses. And Lance used to be where my sister, Irene, is now. And we knew everybody was in the neighborhood, but now they're all gone. I think they sort of bypassed me, let me stay there. My own brother's still living. He's 5.5 years older than me. Yeah.
What was it like growing up with a big family like that?
I don't remember too much about that. See, my mother died when I was 4 years old. And my youngest sister, she was 2 years old. And I don't remember too much. And the oldest girls took care of for a while. And after they all got married, father, he got married again. Had a stepmother, she was one of his old girlfriends from New Orleans. But she really was just as good to us as if she'd have been her own mother. She was really pretty good. And she died here, so did my father.
Now, was your father a farmer?
I don't know what you call it. He was down in Annapolis for about 12 years, and they wanted him to run for another term, you know, 4-year term. He said, "Now that you're damn crooked and me down there." So he wouldn't run no more than that, but he done mostly canning stuff. And we had plenty of men, you know, around. He always had a bunch of men and an extra girl in the house and stuff. He never done much of field work or anything like that. He done the figuring out. He was an expert accountant. Yeah, his diploma's in there. I got it on the wall. I'll show it to you after a while. It's about that square.
And what did you can?
Tomatoes and beans. We used to raise quite a few of them ourselves, but then we bought them from all the way down in where the arsenal is now. Bought all of the other farmers' tomatoes. And we used to go to Balmer down at Wagner's Point, get a whole bunch of women for what they call the skinners, you know, the peel tomatoes. We had, I guess they'd be about 12 or 15 young girls would come out. And when the arsenal would come in there, we had to get the soldiers, the MPs in there to watch them soldiers. They wouldn't let these girls go. But we didn't have anybody to watch the MPs. It was just bad off. Yeah, I remember the old Edgewood Station. Used to haul canned goods across there with a team, two horses, a flat wagon, all that stuff.
And now how, did you put them in cans or in bottles?
In cans. Yeah, at first, my father, he first started canning houses right down here. But he had four of them towards last. And he used to make her own cans. Yeah.
How would you go about doing that?
I don't know. They had some kind of a rig that would cut the tin out and uh-huh. solder them together and stuff.
Hmm.
Yeah.
What brand name did it?
Queen Bray. And this, after we had stopped for about a year, a bunch of Jewish people from up there in New York wrote down here and said, we better get off of that brand. They said that they've been using it now for a year. And it's that Queen brand. So Father wrote back to him, told me, I think you better get off it. We've been using it for 45 years. Yeah. Lord.
Was this a good area to have tomatoes?
Best. Yeah, it was the best. We used to grow all kinds of... Well, I remember a field we had here, about 30 acres in this field out here, and we never picked on bottom land because we couldn't handle it so much.
Hmm.
You could set a half a bushel basket down and throw them off of one vine. And the people come out here from Balmer then, they'd fight for our land, you know, that they were going to pick.
Mm-hmm.
So they'd have a big time over.
Hmm.
Now you couldn't get one to pick a bushel of tomatoes you tried. I don't know how they get them picked with themselves. They couldn't do it around here.
Hmm.
You know, these ambitious guys we got around here, they didn't pick them.
Now, were most of the farms around here, they all raised tomatoes?
Well, every one of them, that was their cash crop.
Hmm.
And they all raised tomatoes. I still got the old book in there where my father had, just about that long, about that thick, where he kept the counts.
Hmm.
And tomatoes at one time, when he first started, they was delivering to the tin house for 22 cents a bushel.
Mm-hmm.
That's changed, hasn't it?
Yeah.
It's 22 cents for a tomato now, maybe more.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Did the price fluctuate depending, you know, for...
Not too much, no.
Hmm.
No, I remember we used to send a number three cans at the quart can at 80 cents a dozen.
Hmm.
We shipped them out a couple loads. They used to check that last can out there. Uh-oh, here comes a man to fix the wall. He can still walk in without a shovel.
Yeah, I think so. Well, now, let's see, about your father, you were talking about canning. He started the canning business here?
Oh, yeah. See, when they first started, it was Hanson and Lance. And then afterwards, it was H.W. Hanson and Son.
Hmm.
And he used to run this big can house right down the bottom here, and one in Edgewood, one up on Route 7, and one down where the arsenal is now.
Hmm.
And it was all pretty much all hand work then. Of course, we had those cap machines to wood draft and all that, mm-hmm. automatic scalders and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hmm. Now then, you said that in Edgewood, let's see, before the arsenal, what was that peninsula like that Edgewood Arsenal has now?
All farm. Except in one place down there where I forget what the guy's name was. One or two places down that long individual. It was rest on Cadwallon.
Hmm.
General Cadwallon.
Hmm.
I guess it was a great.
Hmm.
I don't know. Everything is done with horses.
Mm-hmm.
No automobiles or nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I think we had the first tractor that ever come around here.
Huh. What kind was it?
International. International 816. Had chain drive on it, yeah.
Hmm.
Every time we made a trip from here to that woods down there on that sandy hill, it cut a set of chain
drives.
Then I had an old Fortune tractor. Not an old one, I had a Fortune tractor after me. But it was so darn hard to start. And after that, I got another International, and I've had International now, Chalmers, ever since.
Hmm.
So son still back, one or two of them down there with that idea.
What made you to become into farming?
Wouldn't know, I guess. You know, anybody has to be crazy to be a farmer. He takes a licking from everybody. Yep. And what people just don't realize is if the farmers stop, all the farmers stop. I believe the armies and all would stop, wouldn't they?
They gotta eat something.
They gotta eat, and they can't, they travel on their stomachs. I don't know. So, but people nowadays, they got an awful different idea. We used to have gas lights in this house.
Mm-hmm.
Carbide gas, had a machine in its basement. You'd put a 100 pound of carbide in it and fill the bottom up with water, and it would drop so much into town.
Hmm.
Still got pipes in through here.
That's right.
They're still in the ceiling and stuff, in the walls. And we put electric in. I run that electric from Edgewood Road in here.
Ooh.
20 cents a foot then, and it run up pretty good then. That's when I had the electric put in here myself. Father, he had the gas lights and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it's another thing about this old house here. I don't remember ever having, what do you call when these outdoor houses?
Mm-hmm.
We never had one of them.
Hmm.
And always had a bathroom. There was a bathtub in there with a wainscoting and copper bottom.
Hmm.
Of course, it's not there anymore. It's all been remodeled and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
This used to be the power in here. I cut that place in there, opened that hall up.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a door come in here,
mm-hmm.
and that was shut up off over there.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
Yeah, this is the room they laid my father out in. They did. And he got so he got, so he was, had his hip broke or something. And he was in a wheelchair and it was there. And that's when I put this cement porch down, took the boards up so he could get right off with a wheelchair.
Oh, huh. It's a very large porch.
So it's 200 foot.
Oh, sir? Oh,
you're talking to me? Mm-hmm. Now where was it?
Your tractor? You're talking about the tractors you had and things?
You mean the first one?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was my brother-in-law was selling them over here. It was an 816, had a two-bottom plow on it. And then I got a Fortune tractor with a two-bottom, and then after that I got this 1020 International. Well, it was pretty good. All steel wheels. Didn't have no rubber tires on them.
Hmm.
And I don't know how many tractors I've had since, all kinds.
When you first got started, did you have to do a lot by hand that you... You know,
everything.
Mm-hmm.
You do plow with the horses, with a single plow, three horses to a plow,
mm-hmm.
walk a many a mile in a day. Yeah. Yep. And then have a two row corn planter. Now they have four and six and eight, all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You could take about 2 acres, if you plowed 2 acres in a day with a team, you was doing pretty good. Son went out there yesterday afternoon, they had 10-acre piece, and 3 hours he was done. He still went 10 acres to it.
Mm-hmm.
That's a little different still. Well, if you had to hire, if you just used the smaller equipment and had to hire them men, even at, what do you call it, minimum wage,
mm-hmm.
well, bankrupt you. You couldn't afford it.
Hmm.
So you just have to get bigger equipment and do it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So let's do it.
Hmm.
Then we went to the, we used to cut the corn and try to get done by the 15th of November so we could go rabbit hunting. Cut it and put in shocks, you know, and then husk it by hand.
Hmm.
Haul it in out of the field, put in piles and haul it in. All that kind of stuff. And tie the fodder in bundles, you know, feed the cows, we were only fooling the cows. Yeah. We wasn't fooling the cows, we were fooling us. So then after we started growing alfalfa here, and made a big change. Father come out here on the field one day, out there on the field one day, and was cutting the field out. He said, "That's all I wanted to see, a field of alfalfa growing on this place." We used to cut that, all the hay in loose, and the hay quart scrap, of course, you know, took it up and down. So that old barn, that old big barn used to be here. And I filled it by myself one year. During the war, you know, you could get some help. And I filled it by myself, and then the darn thing caught on fire and burned up. That thing had all a 2 foot square logs, white walnut logs. Slate roof on it. See what happened on Sunday morning.
Well, now, I understood from Mrs. Carmen that one day she pushed you down the silo.
There used to be an old building out here. No, I was down in the barn. She pushed me down and went down the hole in the barn. She was at the basement in the barn. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she said that I pushed her down a hole out here in this building. But she asked about she's going to get even with me. We used to be together all the time. And one day she was out here. You had corn fodder shocks out in the back of this. It used to be a garden out here. And a grape farmer all the way up along it. And she was out there smoking corn still. And the fodder shock caught on fire. And she was trying to get over that. Couldn't get over the fence. Well, we had some time. One day she was down the pond, broke through the ice, and we used to have a pipeless furnace over there. But she come home and she just stepped right out of her skirt. It was froze solid. Never caught a cold from her.
Did you have pretty cold winters?
Oh my, yeah. We don't have no winters no more. We kill a beef, hang it up in a shed, put a strap of sheet around it, take a piece off in the jungle, and all winter long. But now, one day it's hot, and next day it's cold. It can spoil in a little while. So we used to do all our own butchering and stuff, beef and stuff. Kill about 12 to 14 hogs every winter. Make fresh sausage. That's what I miss now. Just stuff you get at the store, that's only a make-believe sausage. Yeah, we used to cut everything up toward last. We didn't have as many pigs, but we cut everything but the hams and spare ribs up at sausage. From when you was a kid to when you're 83 years old, a lot of things happen that you forget. Yeah.
Did we have a lot of hot summers and droughts and things?
Yeah, several times. I remember one time we had corn out here just steel across where Port of Harbor Square is. And when we went down the ocean, my sister had a place down the ocean for a week. And when I went down there, the corn was way up over your head. And when we come back a week or 10 days later, it was just about up your shoulders. It's really been dried up. Yeah, we had a lot of drought. Always did, always will have too. Yeah.
Do you remember when Edgewood and Aberdeen Proving Ground, that came in here? How did that affect us there?
That made a mess out of it. This was a good place to live then. Huh. That made a mess. All these army people coming and stuff.
And the brother said he hauled the first load of tow went in there, but I don't believe him. I think I hauled it in.
It was one or the other anyhow.
Sure, if he thinks he hauled the first one, that's okay. But we all were there at about 3:30 in the afternoon, unloaded them at Edgewood, and hauled them down in the arsenal, unloaded them underneath the old big cherry tree, and there he still didn't see it. Yeah, I remember when they come in here. That's when the whole thing went to shoot.
Well, now what happened to all the farmers on the peninsula?
Moved out. They scattered all over the place. Now at Fry, he bought that place where his son is down there, Snow Farm, where he sold it. And different ones moved from different places, you know, how to get out. And the colored people up and down there, they moved them up here in Denby, what they call Denby Town there. Just the woods there, and it's got all the places in there. That's when we had some real good color people. Now these youngsters, they think, hey, everybody owns it.
Now, what about in your farming and all? You had all these fields and things around here, and in, what was going first? I don't, like, did you have Edgewood Heights? Was that the first place that they built?
No, Edgewood Meadows was the first one. Hmm. From Edgewood Meadows, and then not Edgewood Meadows, what's the matter with me? That their place over there where they call Edgewood Heights. No, that's not Edgewood Heights either. It's the place the government built there on Herman Lance's place. And then on this side, my sister had it. Well, she still lives in the house. Well, that's the next thing built, that's Edgewood Meadows. And then this Edgewood Heights, they come in there sometime, I don't remember when it was. Mm-hmm. Them cement block things. Mm-hmm. And then they started building them there things, they set one inside of the other down there.
Hmm.
Joppa Town, I remember when it started.
Yeah.
Well, that ain't too long. That hasn't been too long.
Uh-huh.
Maybe 15 or 20 years, something like that.
What was it like down there?
That was just a great big farm. Shell had it then.
Hmm.
Yes.
What makes a farmer decide to sell his farm and let them develop it?
Well, when you get a car and it gets wore out and nobody wants to work anymore, then you just say the you know what with it.
Mm-hmm.
Sell it.
Hmm.
Put the damn thing in a bank and draw the interest on it.
Hmm.
That's the only thing I see with making. And it's worth, when they want to offer the price for it, it's worth too much money to farm anymore.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is.
Mm.
And I farmed for a long while. I just quit about 10 years ago.
Mm.
I was 70-some years old when I quit.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was time to quit. Still don't quit. I help my son. And I don't know why he wants to keep on farming. He was in the Navy Air Corps, come back, he had a pretty good rating. I said, why don't you stay in there? He says, you got a pretty good rating. He says, yes, a lot of them SBs got a better rating than me, tell me what to do.
Is it hard being your own boss and making yourself do stuff?
Or? No, that's the easiest thing in the world. You know, if you don't do it, you're sunk.
Huh.
That's it. Yeah, I never had any trouble getting. See, we used to get up in the morning. Everybody thinks you get up at 3 o'clock in the morning farm or 4 o'clock. That's a bunch of hoary. If you do that, then you don't do nothing the rest of the day. So we used to get up at 6 o'clock and go to the barn. Around 7:30, we ate breakfast. Then we'd go to the field, and about 6 o'clock in the evening, we was eating supper again. If you didn't do that, you'd just make a drudgery out of it.
Mm.
And that's what a lot of them did. And it was always, well, they'd go out and plant a field of corn instead of fixing the machine up for it. They'd go to plant it, they'd fix it in the field.
Mm-hmm.
That didn't go.
Mm-hmm. Did they have like the University of Maryland Extension Service to help you?
Yeah. I don't know how they helped. I didn't know what they, I didn't think they knew as much as I did. Yeah, you take a lot of these places where they write these books and stuff. Some of them are dumber than I am, so why should I bother with them? I tell you, I guess you'll find out when you get a little older that experience is the only teacher. Yes, sir. If you don't have experience, you can study that book all you want, but if you don't get out there and get the experience with it, you're sunk. I know we had a neighbor down here. He was a college graduate, you know, farming from this agriculture college. And he stopped me on the road and he said to me one day, he says, Earl, he says, you fellas seem to be getting along all right around here. What's the matter with me? I said, you want to know the truth? You want me to butter you up? I said, he said, no, I want to know the truth. I said, well, throw them damn books in the woods. I said, get out here in the field and you do something. So he got along pretty good after that. Dad with the cannon house and the farms together. That was bad. It was about the time you'd have to work at night down there, you know, to get rid of the produce and stuff. Then get on a big truck. If a guy would run the truck, we had a great big truck there with solid tires on them days. And if you had too much stuff, we'd haul it down the market. We couldn't get rid of it. Couldn't get it all put up. So, and at the time, the guy that run the truck, he didn't want to go in there at midnight. So you had to do it. So I was going down Devil's Elbow one night, and a hind wheel jumped off that thing. 400 bushel beans on it.
Oh, boy.
Dark as pitch, and it wasn't a lot of cars like it is now.
What happened to all the canning houses?
Well, the last one we had was in Edgewood, and Carl Perry turned that into a grocery store, IGA store. IGA, what it is. And it burnt down. That's what happened to it. And these, they tore them down, this one up here. Stuff was getting so helpless, hard to get, you know. A mess out of things. So I don't know which is the hardest, working the farm or fooling around. You see, with farm work, a lot of people got a wrong idea about it. It's interesting. You don't do the same thing 2 days straight, hardly. It's always something different. And I thought it was pretty interesting to raise the calves and to raise the horses and stuff, you know. And right now, when your old tractor gets wore out, you got to trade in and work the rest of your life to pay for it. Yeah. So we raised our own horses, you know, and that just took off. And you could sell an older one. Oh, Jesus.
What would your father say if he saw all those, the housing developments?
Turn me upside down and spank me. No, boy, he wouldn't allow nothing like that in them fields. No.
Was it hard for you to sell off the land?
No, I didn't mind it. I was just about had enough of it, see. And what you sold, you wasn't getting none for, and what you bought, you was paying. Of course, I wasn't hurting none because I was shipping a lot of milk for his last. But I guess I was shipping around 500 gallon milk a day, and that was paying off pretty good. But these here guys that didn't have any milk business, well, you could drive down Eastern Shore and look at the farms. You can see wherever it was cows, the barns and stuff would be painted. Where it wasn't no cows, they would fall down. Yeah.
What did you have much awareness of what was going on outside Edgewood, the rest of the county? Did you have much interaction?
Well, I was in the Farm Bureau and all that kind of stuff. Southern states, we used to go to Richmond, different places, and conventions, stuff like that. We take about three weeks off every summer and go someplace. But then the best looking, prettiest thing I see was when I come back and look at them two rows of Holstein calves.
Oh.
Yeah. We'd go all, take 3 weeks and go from, well, as far as we could go, stay one place for a night or two at that place. Drove all over the place one day down through Kentucky one time to see the old Kentucky home. And didn't see not any damn better looking than one I had home. Yeah. Yeah, I've been pretty near every state in the Union. I haven't been to California.
No.
Yeah. Down in Florida several times. I didn't see anything worth burning the gasoline up to go back there anymore. Of course, these people would go down there and have these parties and stuff that they want to lay out in the sun. I never had to lay in the sun.
No.
Yeah, I got enough sun without that.
Does Harford County treat the first district area pretty okay, or did you think you got left out?
We was sort of left out. Mm. Like Hap Curl, you know him?
Mm-hmm.
So he said that this ground down here wasn't no good, you know. All up country was supposed to be the best. So he come down here one time, and I had a field of plover out there. Once out of a field of alfalfa. I said, took him out there, and I said, Hap, I want you to look at this clover, see what the hell's the matter with it. I said, you say you grow such good clover up every other part of the country, and I said, what do you think I should do to this? It was about that high and just full bloom, just beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
He looked at me and said, what the hell are you talking about? I said, well, you told me this ground wasn't worth nothing down here. Come find out it's worth a little bit more than it is up there now. Yeah. Yeah, actually, when I sold this place here, ground wasn't as high as it is now, but I could have bought two or three of them farms up the country for, but I wouldn't have one of them if they give it to me if I had to work it on them hills. Boy, that's ridiculous. You can work 3 acres around here on this flat ground for the same amount of money as you could work one up there. Yeah. No, I wouldn't want one of them. That Fielder boy, he Randolph Fielder, he was kidding me about the sand down here, you know. And when I sold this place, I showed him a down payment I had on it. I said, that's as much as your damn farm's worth. Yeah.
Was it, do you think it was a demanding life that you had with the way the responsibilities of the farm were?
It was a responsibility, but I wouldn't say demanding. You just done what you wanted. You didn't have to do what you told me to do. I didn't have to do what you told me to do, or anybody else. But if I didn't work it right, I was the one who was going to lose.
Mm.
So that's what you always watch for.
Mm.
And I always did take out pretty good, so I guess maybe I wasn't too wrong. You know, a lot of people, maybe they think I had to sell out. I didn't have to sell out. I was drawing a $5,000 milk check month.
Mm.
Not much expense. I had a guy, he died a couple of years ago, come with me when he was 13 years old. He stayed here for 44 years.
Mm.
He wasn't exactly he was a good kind of a guy. He'd watch out for things. But he wasn't what you call an extra good farm hand, because his eyes were bad. I don't know.
use a lot of chemicals and things on your crop?
And fertilizer, that was all. You can put 300 or 400 pounds of fertilizer in the acre. Didn't have to. We had a bunch of dairy cows.
Yeah. Also, I wondered about what you couldn't raise on. I guess you raised a lot of things that you know, consumed yourself. But when you had to go to the store, where would you go?
Well, we dealt with the last store we dealt with several years with Mirage up around Route 7. But we used to deal with, down there in Edgewood with John Carroll and Wigram. That's a long while ago when Wigram had it. He was a blind man.
Hmm.
And he had a store right on the side of our tent there. In other words, we never went to the stores. Mrs. used to make out a list. I never could tell see how she could do it. But she'd make out a list and they'd deliver it, say, from up here at this store up here for years. And then when we first got married, Mrs. said, well, we want to get a washing machine. I said, I don't want to stay any washing machine in here. I never could stand the smell of that, you know, what do you call it, that detergent stuff. So I used to take the wash down to a colored lady down there on the side of Trimble Road. She'd done it for years, and after she passed away, then we took it to, we got Carol's Laundry done it. And then after they done it, they passed away, and the Elite Laundry come here for a while. And they quit, so then we got this, after Mrs. passed away, we got this little old washing machine. My daughter done the washing and that. That's what she wanted, one like that. I told her, I said, it's just like send a boy on a man's errand. So that's about the only thing I could sit here and remember things for all night. But you know, after you get my age, you kind of forget.
Mm.
Now you could tell me your name, or if you did tell me your name, I forgot it already. I forget before they get out the door. But anything happened 50 years ago, I can remember as well as that.
What about traveling salesmen? Did you ever have those?
Oh, yeah. You used to have these here, what do you call them guys? You used to come around with a pack on their back. Oh, I forget what they called them. Well, anyhow, they'd have a pack on their back and they'd sell all kinds of crows in there. They didn't do much good here. But the missus would never buy her. She always went to Balmer and got her stuff.
Mm.
She made all the kids clothes. Well, I had two, a boy and a girl. She made all the girls' clothes.
Now, which did you have first? Did you have a telephone or electricity first?
I don't remember which one we had first, but we've had a telephone here quite a long while. We've had electric here quite a long while.
Hmm.
There was a dirt road when they brought that electric in here, and that first Chatham Road that went down to Edgewood Meadows been there for a long while. Then they built this, resurfaced it out here again, you know, a couple of years ago. But I don't remember which we had first.
Mm.
But I know many a time I run up and down that hill to call up. We had this way and call for something. And I got a phone down the barn, see.
Mm.
I've still got one upstairs and one down here. That one upstairs is a darn nuisance, though. But the son says, you better have one up there in case anything happens to you. You can go. But it happened to ring somebody ringing a wrong number. It'll wake you up after you've been asleep about a half hour. So what happens? I think I've had most any kind of automobile you can mention.
Yeah.
I can tell you, I've had some that I don't think you ever remember. Do you ever remember a Stanley steamer?
I've heard of them, yeah. Did you have one of those?
I had one of them.
Huh.
Yeah.
Now, where would you be able to buy one like that?
You can get them from Balmer. They come through dealers. wasn't very many of them around, I'll tell you. And I had, you ever hear of a moon? I had a moon, I had a Hupmobile, I had a, what's that German car I had? No, I'll think of it after a while. It was a great big heavy car. And, oh Lord, I've had every car.
No, why? Do you like cars a lot?
Not too much. I like the car as long as it goes good. But now I've been using the same kind of car for about 20-some years now, ever since they quit building the Packard. That was the best automobile ever hit a road.
Huh.
Yeah. So they quit building them. A lot of people would buy them, you know, after they wore out, and then cuss the Packard.
Hmm.
But I don't care what kind it is, if it's wore out, it's wore out. So are you. Now, I've had these first Lincoln I had, they quit building the Packard. I bought the first Lincoln in 57. Then I got one in 63, and 68. And then I bought this one in 74.
Hmm.
It's pretty near wore out. It's got 15,000 miles on it.
15,000?
Yeah, that's all it's got on. Never had a flat car under it. Yeah, well, it shouldn't have, I guess.
Huh.
But I've had good luck with them. I bought one Cadillac in between, and I got the only one that was no good. It was our lowest counts of a kind of thing you ever seen.
Hmm.
And if it had been a used car, I wouldn't have said nothing. But it was a new car. Used to vapor lock all the time.
Hmm.
And it cut the front tires out. All you had to do is just ease over against the curb, and the saddle butter was out of line.
Hmm.
Stop all me down on Light Street one day, and cop, he was hollering, come on, get, I pulled up the red light and it stopped. And I couldn't get it started to get the paper lock. Cop, he kept hollering, come on, get that thing out of the way. Here she is, buddy, you can get her out of the way, go ahead. I kept it about 6 months and I never got it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody knows the Cadillac's supposed to be a good car,
mm-hmm.
but I think they're a little overrated.
Mm-hmm.
That's my idea about it. It's just good enough that I don't want to pour up. Yep.
What did you do for recreation?
Well, we used to go to dances and play cards and stuff like that. I used to daughter and I used to go to a lot of dances, and Missy didn't like to dance too much. She'd go once in a while. Well, she always went, but she never done much dance. And, but daughter and I used to dance together a good bit. She, after she was grown up, and she started teaching dance. Yeah, I think we had just about as much fun now as we never went out and sat at a bar all night drinking beer and stuff. Get drunk and then come out and run over top of somebody. That's what a lot of them do now.
Mm.
But as far as entertainment, we never had any television. But I come to that because there wasn't none out there. But we had radios. First radio we had, you had to have earphones.
Huh.
Mm-hmm. Then we got a horn put on it. What they call a father got that. Hear your master's voice, a big bell horn.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Wasn't very much on the radio but then. Now you got these televisions, all you got to do is sit here, press a button, and change the station for anything you want.
Do you think these modern conveniences are good?
I wouldn't want to do without them. I said it that way. There's so many people doing cutting wood, you know. You would see this fireplace here goes clear through. It's shut off on here now, inside, so I got the chimney goes up to it. But it used to go clear through. Stick a 4-foot stick in there. And then afterwards, it had the trobe stoves set in there. See where that round thing is?
Mm-hmm.
That would go round. They set out little bays and had isinglass in the front. They were very pretty.
Mm.
And up in the bedrooms, we had registers in the chimney, and there was a stovepipe went up to it, and it shut the heat from going all the way up. Heated the bedroom. This old house has been pretty much up to date all the time. Now, I don't know what you call up to date kitchen. Some people say talk about up to date kitchen. It's everything in that kitchen is in any other kitchen. Dishwashers and everything else.
Hmm. That one was this half built, do you think?
I don't know. I'll show you what.
Do you think it can improve the use? I guess that's fine. There's a picture of it.
Oh.
Getting broke up pretty much.
Hmm.
That's out front here.
Uh-huh.
See, it didn't have no fancy stuff on the porch. Yeah. It had no chimneys. It didn't have no end on it, no bay window.
Uh-huh.
Here's 100 years later.
Mm.
See, that's an 8. I guess that one has 18.
1843.
1840, that was an old house then.
Well, who owned it during that time?
Grandfather.
Really? Huh, so it's been your family a long time.
Yeah.
Huh.
You see it now, it's got these fancy things on the porch up mm-hmm. here. And all that crap.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got this bay window on the end where it didn't have that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, it's a very unusual looking house, you know. It's not like with all these gables. Isn't that what's called gables?
It's got 7 gables.
Really? That's really
unusual. It has 7 gables.
Huh.
See, we have 3 floors here.
Mm-hmm.
Just no attic. Just 3 floors.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
Yeah. And I was telling you, there's my father's patrol.
Oh.
You don't get one like that anymore, do you?
You sure don't. Huh.
That's all the professors that signed it.
Uh-huh.
Expert in, what the hell did it say?
Intelligent
and competent accountant.
Huh.
And I used to wonder when I was a kid, these people would come up to settle up, see where they used to haul the tomatoes there, and leave them there, and they draw for fertilizer and stuff like that. We used to get that in carloads
mm-hmm.
at Edgewood,
mm-hmm.
and then they'd come and get whatever they wanted, and then that was put on against their tomato crop. And So, I don't know, they used to come up here and settle up, you know, straighten up.
Mm-hmm.
And I often wondered when I was a kid going to school, how come that he could catch up on something so quick? They'd have a little mistake with different places. And he'd catch it up. All he had to do is glance over it. But he never done too much field work or anything like that, you know. He used his head. He told me several times. He said, boy, he said, go to school. He said, you'll never get rich with your coat off. He meant digging a ditch or something.
Huh.
Yeah. He said, get an education. You'll never get rich with your coat off.
Well, now, do you remember how he got involved in the political scene?
No, I don't. That was before my time.
Hmm.
Boy, he used to have, in other words, he was Boss Hanson. You either worked for Boss Hanson or the railroad. That's all it was to do around here.
Huh.
Everybody called Boss Hanson. Everybody called him Boss Hanson. That's his picture out here. He's a good looking man too, I must say so.
Mm-hmm.
And a pretty smart man. You had to be pretty smart to raise 7 kids without a mother.
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah. No.
It seems that the railroad was real important around here.
Yeah, pretty most of the people worked for the railroad. Yeah. And when the arsenal come in, then they could get them easy jobs, go down there and sit down and do nothing. That's what they still do. I was down on the, see, I was on the ration board for about 2 years. Hmm. And I was down there, I think it was World War II, and I never seen such a ridiculous mess in my life. Yeah. Yeah, you go into some of them buildings down there, there'd be 800 women in there. And all of them, we went down one day, I wouldn't give a guy, he got a set of tires, see, for his car. And he thought because I was a farmer, and he was a farmer from Eastern Shore, he could sell that car with them new tires on it and come back and get another set the next week. But he made a mistake. Because I said, no, you just got a set of tires. That wouldn't be fair to the rest of these guys. So we went down there and it's your color fellow down there, the color. He was hauling a road back and forth from Bowman, and he said, he'd come in there after a set of tires, and he got a set. So then about a week afterwards, he'd come in and said he had sold that car and had to get another set, had to get a set of tires, or he couldn't haul in much comb. And he said, I can't haul them people in here. I said, well, maybe it would be just as well. I said, if you don't haul them in, I said, if you've got to have a set of tires every week, I said, you might as well not haul them. So, Next time I went down there, I had a card laying on my desk, a piece of paper there with an order on it to investigate this building. I said, I don't believe you need it down here anyhow. You got enough down here. So I had a card to investigate this building. That's when I walked in. I see all these women, colored women, most of them, 90% of them, not doing a thing. I went in part of the way with Captain Williams and Colonel Burke, and I turned around and started to walk out. He says, but is that all, fellow, you're going out that far enough? So I walked back and I marched back on there, not needed. I don't know what he ever done for tires. Yeah.
Was it hard for your farming during the war?
Pretty tough that time because you couldn't get anything, you know, any parts or anything. Hmm. Yeah.
Did they buy your crops to use in the war effort? Or?
Well, I guess, see, we were putting them through the cannon house. Hmm. And I guess they shipped them all over. Now I know a preacher down here come from England, married one of them Skillman girls, and he come back here with one of these cream brand labels. And he says, come up here one day all excited, says to his father, he says, Mr. Hanson, I want to show you something I picked up over in England. And he said, what is it? He showed him one of these labels. It was a pretty label, you know, had a big red tomato on it, you know. And he says, I picked this up over in England. He says, I didn't know that they got that far. He said, oh, we've been shipping further in England.
Hmm.
Yeah, we've been shipping all over the world. My grandfather, he used to build these seagoing vessels down here at Wolford's place. I guess maybe Emmerd said that, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's one of the vessels he, on the hand painted up there.
Huh.
Yeah.
Where did he build them?
Down there, you know where Willoughby Beach is? Mm-hmm. Or where they're building them new houses on this side next to that marsh?
Mm-hmm.
That water was deep enough in there that they could launch them seagoing vessels.
That big?
Yeah. That's how deep. Now it ain't nothing but a run in there.
No.
We got half of Harford, upper part of Harford County in there. That's what it is. Washed in there and filled it in.
Oh.
Yeah. Huh. So he used to build them and ship them to all over different parts of the country. The father says he sent him over. He was about 20 years old with one of the ships when he was just a youngster. Mm-hmm. And he said the closer he got to that drawdown, her bridge, the narrow it looked. Mm-hmm. And he said when he got through, he had an inch on each side. And if he'd have got caught in there and no motor on him to back back, mm-hmm. just to sail, you know.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, he said he took several of them over there.
Huh.
Over to Sweden, different places.
And was your grandfather, in, was he the one that was in charge of this boat work?
Mm-hmm. He's the one done it.
And what
I mean, he one that was the head guy. He was going to run the business, wherever you call it. And they used to saw logs out. The lumber for the build these things, they put had big trestles and roll a big log up, and one man get on top, one down below, and rip them logs out. Wonder if you could find somebody could do that today.
I doubt it.
Hell no. They can't saw straight with electric saw.
Uh-huh. Huh. I've never heard about that.
You never?
Uh-uh.
Oh, yeah. He built several of them down there. Down there in back of where Wolford's old place was, that's the last place it was. The back of that. See, he used to own that place. Here we go.
Hmm.
Yeah.
And then he painted that?
No, he didn't paint it. Somebody, he said some guy worked here for him and painted it.
Oh.
It laid up in the third story for a long while.
Uh-huh.
And he, I brought, Mrs. brought it down. It had a big brass frame all the way around, and she took that off.
Mm.
Several of them other pictures is around here, but
mm-hmm.
that's been a long while. I never looked on the back to see if there was a day on it.
Mm.
So his name was Thomas Hansen, too, a grandfather.
Mm.
Now, I was a kid, if you called me Thomas, I'd fight. And then after my brother and I, we started to get to go into business in different books.
Oh.
Older than that.
My goodness. Now, where is this from?
That's his account book, where he kept all the accounts and the accounts from. It's got pretty dirty laying up there in the third
street. 1899. Boy.
That's back there somewhere, ain't it?
Isn't that something?
If you look in there some places, but I think it's a place in there where it says delivered tomatoes, delivered for 22 cents a bushel and stuff like that. Pigs, where they got to have the pigs, you know, two pigs for $4.
Huh.
He had a pretty good handwriting, too.
Sure did. Hmm. H.W. Hansen.
Yeah. Herman Wilford Hansen. See, they would draw different things, come and draw something, some money or something, a different thing, gets a different thing, and they mark them down, take them off them in the fall, when they delivered, when they paid for the tomatoes.
Mm-hmm. And so then they could borrow it, I guess.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They'd come here during the winter when they, things was tight, they used to come here and get money from the father every once in a while.
Mm.
He'd let them have so much on their crop and that. Sometimes they never raised any crop.
And then he writes settled on over it.
Yeah.
Because there's some here that it doesn't look like they got settled.
Several of them.
There's some.
With a couple of notes or something.
Something.
Second National Bank. Well, that's checks.
Hmm.
American Fertilizer Company, $957 for a carload of fertilizer. Now it costs you $9,000 or something.
Hmm.
American Fertilizer Company. He didn't let anything go hip-shod, you know. Mm-hmm. You kept counting everything.
Yeah.
Because if they come and settle up, oh, I didn't get that, you know, I didn't get that.
Well, there are lots of names in here.
Yeah, all of them gone, too. Right there, another one. Griffith and Turner. To build for some clover seed. Now here's something. 120 pound of crimson clover seed. 7.5 cents a pound.
Now how much is it now?
About $2.50. Mm. $9 for 120 pounds. Cotton sack 20 cents. Yeah, I went to get a some bluegrass up there, and they won $2.40 a pound for it. Mm. Yeah, that's just been just this morning. Mm. That don't seem possible, does it? That
no.
That, 7.5 cents a pound.
Mm. You wonder really how a farmer could make it today if he had.
Pay that
much.
That comes from the seed company. The farmer didn't get that much. Mm. That's the seed company. Mm. Griffin and Turner used to be down there on Pratt Street. We was down there one day, and Father and I and an old man, John Young, I guess you've heard of him, but he used to be a lawyer up in Blair. Mm-hmm. He used to stutter a lot. And we was going down there on Pratt Street, where you cut through from the market. It was a one-way street. That's about the only one they had in Bulmer then. And this old chauffeur, John Young, he was going the opposite way. The cop stopped him. And old man John Young said, we're only going one way. Yeah, we're only going one way. Yeah.
Was there much of a community spirit long ago with Edgewood? Or?
I think a whole lot more than it is now. Mm. Yeah, a whole lot more. Yeah. Because you knew everybody, you know. Mm-hmm. And whatever, anything was to go, to be done, everybody went together and done it. Mm. Like you take, if one of the fellows on the farm happened to get sick, something out with him, the next morning, and if he had a field of, say, you're going to plant a field of wheat or something, next morning, would, all them teams around the neighborhood would be there and plant that wheat. Mm-hmm. And it ain't like they do now. They glory in seeing you get behind. Mm-hmm. But then they'd jump right in to help you plant it. So you get a job done. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think people was more civilized. They're supposed to be getting more civilized now, ain't they? Mm-hmm. That's a lie. Mm-hmm. Half of them ain't civilized. Oh, there's still some of them more, but half of them ain't. Mm. Yeah. The worst trouble I had after I sold this here and they built down there was keeping them teenagers off my end porch out there. See, that's another section on there yet. Mm-hmm. And you couldn't hear them out there. Next morning you go out there, they'd be beer cans all over the place, all that kind of stuff. Hmm. I woke up and looked out the window one morning a couple of years ago, and seen a fellow and a girl sleeping out here in the yard with their heads covered up. She didn't have no shoes up, been sleeping there all night. Hmm. Yeah.
What about Prohibition? Do you remember about that?
Yeah.
What was that? Did that have much effect around here?
Well, it had quite a bit of effect. Made a couple of rich guys. Old Bernie Evans, and a fellow who used to name Weaver down there, used to make homebrew, you know, and sell it. He never got too much off of me because I never liked the stuff. I still don't care much for it.
Would they have a still or something?
Yeah, they make a, oh, they blew up. My wife went down there in the woods one time to get a turkey. Had been laying down there, and she walked down there to get the egg every night. So his hen didn't come up that night, so she walked down to see where she was, and she picked the hen up. She was getting ready to set, you know. So she picked the hen up, and these guys had been in here that offered me $100 a week, put the still down there in the woods. I said, you ain't getting me in none of that kind of a mess. So they went down there and put it in anyhow, come in the back way.
Uh-huh.
And just behind she picked that turkey hen up, that blew somebody, that guy blew that steel up. I just scared her. Yeah. Oh yeah, they, old Bernie Evans up there, I think he got to be a multimillionaire off of that. Young old corn with, illegal stuff, you know, didn't have no taxes or anything. They ain't no use. Anybody thinks they're going to stop people from getting that stuff, they're just wrong. But you know, if you want it bad enough, you'll get it if you have to send it from Russia.
Did you have much police protection around here?
The NIM?
Huh.
We didn't need no police. We need police for. Everybody was civilized. I said, since then, we never had a lock on the door.
Huh.
Not a door locked or nothing. Never had to have it. And you could let anything lay outside. They never, nobody ever bothered it. Because everybody that lived around here knew each other. And we never had no trouble that way. Never had any trouble that way until about, well, when these houses, this bunch, Meadowwoods was started most of it. Mm-hmm. That's a rough place over there. Tell me, I haven't been over there. You just got to latch everything down. I even got my garage wired, you know, with a siren in it.
Hmm.
So if you open one of them doors, he'll holler at you. Light flashes on and the siren goes off and might stop a little bit of it. I went out there one day to look and took the back of the car and the license plate was gone off the back of the car. And they stole the license plate and every cussed tool I had in the garage.
Hmm.
That ain't been very long ago, about 6 months ago. That's when I had the thing washed.
Hmm.
And then after that, I thought, see, I got that Mark IV Lincoln. And it ain't the easiest thing on gas. So I thought it was burning too much gas. So I happened to go out there one day and I went to get the pickup truck out and the gas tank fell off. They couldn't get the thing in that very good to suck it up that far. So they looked in the back of the car and they had the gas cap lodged in there to hold this flap down, you know. And somebody must have scared them or something and they didn't put it back. That's how I found out why that car was burning as much gas as it was.
Mm.
Anytime the car takes 6 gallons to go over here to where you come from, over there at the library, over there at the Acme's where I went, take 6 gallons of gas, go over there and come back, it's burning too much.
Mm.
So I found out I got a lock cap and put on it, and it's a lot nicer than that.
Mm-hmm.
Don't burn too much.
Mm. Was this a real pretty area before all the development and everything?
Come here, I'll show you something. This was supposed to be the farm, see? There was a spring place down in there that you ever did in your life. It got the mowed off.
Oh. Uh-huh.
That's where the barn was.
Uh-huh.
And this is the house sitting up here on the hill.
Oh.
That was all flat ground down there. It had a big pond in the back of here.
Uh-huh.
But it would be over here.
Uh-huh.
And that's about 3 acres in it.
Uh-huh.
And that was a pretty place down there. And this is a picture from down the ball. Okay, yeah.
Uh-huh.
And this is where you're coming out this way. Still
huh.
That is part of my cabin. It was really beautiful there.
Uh-huh.
That's part of the cabin that had about 100 acres.
Hmm. Well, it's still beautiful around here, but it was even more so.
Yeah, it's we could still look over top of these damn places down here. Mm-hmm. See, these houses wasn't supposed to be townhouses. They were zoned to be individual homes. And that guy Heiser up there, a little bit slippery anyhow, you know, mm-hmm. and he stuck some money on the table up there in Blair, and he got it zoned to put these in there. Mm-hmm. It wasn't supposed to be anything within 100 feet of a line. Gee, God, you got them sitting on the next place, pretty near on the line on that next place over here. Mm-hmm. And these houses up along here is 40 feet from a line. We was down in Florida for a couple of weeks. When we come back, I had that whole road built up there, 40 feet away from a fence. Mm-hmm. And the missus wanted me to make them tear them down. I said, no, I'm not happy for them. We'll plant some trees up along the hiding. So that's what we did. Yeah. Now, hey, do some slippery things up there in Blair. I ain't got much faith in Blair. Mm. Oh, Blair's all right. It's the darn people he got up there, some of them. Not all of them, but some of them. Mm-hmm. Especially if they get to be a politician for a while, then they get to go haywire. Mm. I wonder this here executive we got up there now. I don't know about him. I never heard of him before. Mm-hmm. So he was elected. Well, Charlie Anderson, he got in trouble with his wife got separated and all, and them women in Joppa Town, and that's a lot of women. when Johnny O'Neill, he had never figured this down in this end of the county amounted to much. But Johnny O'Neill was running against Anderson, and Anderson was down here. He found out whether it mattered. Because mm-hmm. there's about two people down here, or three people down here for every one up that part of the country. Yeah. You take care of 2,700 houses in that pasture field. Mm. Think of all the people there. It's ridiculous. Mm. Yep, I don't know. I guess we'll live it out.
Did you ever think Edgewood would be, have all these people living here?
I never had any idea it would ever be that way. If we wanted to go anywhere, there wasn't no lot of stores around like it is now. Mm-hmm. You take up here the other end of this place, up there where the giant store is, see, that was part of this place. And all up in there, my God, in 1937, when that road went through there, wasn't even a road through there yet. Mm-hmm. That's when that road went through in 1937. When they finished it, I meant to say. Anytime I was up there rabbit hunting, I had to climb up a tree to get up to see where the house was. There was a lot of ground out, woods out there. Now it's full of houses, and townhouses, and apartments, and everything else. So I guess you can't expect nothing else. We used to have a little tenant house over here in the field, back of the field, in the corner of the woods. It was about 2 or 3 acres, about 2 acres in there. And had a little tenant house there. Now I think it got about 25 homes on it, on that one place. And built in a circle, no backyards. Mm-hmm. And I built that far apart on front. Mm-hmm. I don't know how many's in there. They call it Sunrise. Yeah. So I don't know what the heck is going to happen to me. Now they're talking about wanting to build this place where my son's plowing up over here. They're trying to get that zone to build that up. But they're figuring on $150,000 homes there. And where are they going to sell them? It'd be pretty good to ordinary workman to be able to afford a $150,000 home. That is, the guy's just working for a salary, or unless he's getting one of them there. Terrific salaries.
Was it tempting to, say, give up farming and go work at Edgewood or Aberdeen?
Mm-hmm. Brother down there, brother, he did that,
Uh-huh.
And he was over there at the fence one day. See, his fence separated these two places. His was a long, narrow place, and this was wider and went back further. Well, anyhow, I was down there on the fence. He said, why don't you come down there and get a job? He says, "How'd you live last winter?" I says, "Well, I got pretty thin." But I said, "When I go down there and get a job, I'm going to sell this D farm." I said, "If that farm can't take care of me, or I can't take care of myself on that farm, I'm going to get rid of it." So I never did go down there. He went down there and worked. Yeah. He can remember a lot more things than I. I never paid no attention to it, you know. I never had time to be worried about.
Did you ever take your things over to the fair, the Harford County Fair?
No. Only thing I had was a pair, couple of teams here. They wanted me to put them in a pulling contest. I said, no, I think more of them horses than that are going to strain their guts out. But I had a pair here with a one, all right. They weighed a ton apiece, and they didn't give up. But I wasn't going to strain them, dragging them, cussing thing for nothing. It makes sense to me. You didn't get nothing out of it, just a ribbon or something. And I had a pair of big mules here that they could have won it easy. But they'd allow to kill somebody up there because they'd got away. They'd run over top of somebody. We used to have about anywhere from 15 to 20 horses here. Father used to have, when he used to have a cannon house down the arsenal, he had 8 horse teams, and 8 black ones and 8 white ones. And the smallest one in the team weighed 1,950 pounds. Now you talk about a horsepower, that was horsepower.
What did they use them for?
Hauling canned goods out of down there. It was all dirt and muddy roads, you know, and you had to have heavy draft horses to pull that. Used 8 horses and drove the 8 horses with one line.
Wow.
This one, you could sit right back on a wagon and drive the whole 8 of them.
And then where would you take them?
Up to the railroad station. Edgewood, unloaded in a car. I never done that, but that's what they said before. I was too little for that. Pop used to send me down there to, we call it Gunpowder Neck. He used to send me down there with checks to settle up, you know, the different ones that didn't come up. Some of them people never come out of that place. So I used to go get on horseback and take it down and take a check to deliver it to him. That's a long way to 13 miles the other end of that place.
Did you have much to do with the water around here? The shore, like for boating yourself?
No, we could do as we please.
Oh.
See, your father owned a lot of ground with the water around it. And we got it just done as we please. We didn't ask you or nobody else. And it wasn't such crazy laws as they got now. They got to have them strict laws. You can't do this, you can't. Well, you can't even keep a dog without it. You have it, what do you call it? Fixed for rabies, buy the license, and all that kind of stuff. It cost you a fortune to keep a dog. I had a pair of collies here, and one of them got struck with a car out there on a dirt road, mind you. And then I only had the one. But then I got rid of her about 3 or 4 years ago. I had to send her up and have her put to sleep. She got 21 years old. And she got hard hair and she couldn't see, and I was afraid she was going to get killed out here on the road, get half killed. And then I'd have to finish her, and I didn't want that. So she would be down on that far hill next to my brother's place at 3:30 in the afternoon. And at 4 o'clock, she started them cows out. And when she started towards them cows, they'd come to the barn. They knew they'd go. And she'd hold them out of you come. Same thing next in the morning. I never seen any watch on her. But she could tell time as good as, better than I could. We used to be in the field, and if I see her go down there and be laying down on the hill, I knew about it was pretty near time to unhook, to quit. Yeah.
Now let's see, when about did you start into milking? Okay. Did you do that all along?
Yeah, no, we didn't do it. We said we'd start, go to the barn about towards last. I don't remember before that anymore. We used to milk by hand years ago, you know. But towards last, we was milking 6 and 8 cows at a time. And it went right into the tank, you know, never touched it. And we used to start the milk and get up and go to the barn at 6 o'clock, and one of us would go to feed and the other one start the milker. And we'd be done by 7, milk about 75, 80 cows. Big cry from when we used to milk them by hand.
Well, had your father had cows also?
Not too many. No, he used to have just for own use. He had a better head than I did. He didn't need cows. Yeah.
And so then you're the one that really got a large herd. Like,
oh yeah, oh yeah. Yeah, he started here to get a few, and when we had the old big barn used to be here. But then I took over afterwards. When the big barn burnt down, we built that other one, this barn you see over the picture. Built that, and it never was big enough, but it was 100 foot long, 40 foot wide, but it was never big enough. But see, when we built it, that big barn it had here, it had 2 stories to it. It was a lot different. But when we built it, well, it was big enough then, because we were still running the kin now, see. But after that, it was pretty small. That's not such a little barn, 100 foot long.
No.
This darn house is 76 foot long.
Is it?
Huh. 3 stories. See, them stairs, they go clear to the 3rd story.
Hmm.
I got it shut off at the second floor, on the second floor. I put a door there so the heat wouldn't go up in there. I can't heat off a 3rd story for nothing. But it's astonishing with this house, it don't cost as much to heat it as it does that semi-bungalow my son's got.
Hmm.
It's cement block, stucco.
Mm-hmm.
But this has got 3 different sides on it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And it's insulated in between and in between each floor.
Mm-hmm.
It don't cost too much to heat it. Well, it costs plenty of way fuel is now. I use gas. Heat with gas. Yeah.
I think I've talked your ear off. We've had a lot of interruptions.
Yeah.